I rode my bike up to the Fox Studios on 6th Avenue, and after going through security, which consisted of an ID check, background check, voting record, retinal scan, credit report, and optional anal probe, I was ushered through the lobby and through to the second security area. Flight records checked, blood test, urinalysis, B.F. Skinner box placement, Pledge of Allegiance, and optional anal tuck and roll. A pleasant but rather formal young woman named Gretchen greeted me with a smile and a chocolate American flag. She was very nice, but walked super quick, though, as if I had a Steadicam strapped onto me and we were shooting a scene from Grey's Anatomy. Also, she wore an earpiece and a bulletproof Kevlar vest. I asked her what was up with all the security. "Well, ever since 9/11, we've been on threat level ultra red, or at least trying to be." She slowed as we approached a thick, foreboding door with an animatronic likeness, at least I think it was a likeness, of Sean Hannity. Gretchen stood in front of it and said, "You're a great American, Sean." "And you too, my friend," said the robot, and the door opened. Everyone was really nice, and I was soon introduced to Bill O'Reilly. He was more pleasant and avuncular than I expected, and as he graciously offered me a cup of coffee, he told me how excited he was that I was on the show and mentioned twice how impressed he was with my courage for coming on. We talked very briefly about his newish book, A Bold, Fresh Piece of Humanity. I asked him about the title and what made him decide upon one that could be so easily mocked. He told me he didn't know what I was talking about and asked what I meant. And I'll be completely honest here. I was more than a little nervous, and I kind of hemmed and hawed and sort of sputtered out, "Well, you know, you could substitute almost anything for the word humanity." "Hmm, you mean like cake or something? A bold, fresh piece of cake." "I get it. That's a good one. I never thought of that." He said he had to get ready and thanked me again for coming on and walked into hair and makeup. While he got ready, I spent the next 3 hours reading the old copies of Newsmax and Alan Colmes' book, huh, that were prominently placed in my dressing room. Finally, we were ready to tape the show. I was the second guest on that night, following a panel consisting of William Bennett, Newt Gingrich, and the ghost of Dennis Miller, discussing what's wrong with kids today with all their rapping and drugs and video games. I was introduced as the, quote, iconoclastic author of I Drink for a Reason, unquote. And as I smiled somewhat tightly, I mean, I was still a little apprehensive about all this, I felt a strange sensation on my ass, as if my chair had the tiniest mild shock going through it. I fidgeted a bit and tried not to let it bother me. I thought it might have had something to do with my mic pack, and after a couple of soft, friendly questions about how this book was doing and stuff like that, he asked me to share some amusing anecdotes about a promotional reading I gave at Brooks Chinook Books, an independent bookstore in Fairbanks, Alaska, selling books to North American Indians and their salmon. I took the bait, no pun intended, and quickly got hooked by O'Reilly, no pun intended. He then began to reel me in, pun intended, and left me dangling on the line with a fish hook in my mouth, no pun intended, as I flopped around the deck gasping for air, no pun intended, like a fish out of water, pun intended. As I started to mention giving a reading of a piece I had written entitled In Anticipation of Reading This Right Now, which you'll find elsewhere in this book, he jumped to my general description of the salmon in attendance as being what I said was one of the dumber fish out there. And then he jumped in, "Hey, not on my show, mister. That kind of invective may make your far-left zealot pinhead fans laugh, but it has no place on this show. No place!" Well, it took me aback, and I stammered for a second, but then I got my bearings. I started to reply that it was just a joke, like my earlier joke about what if the holes in Jesus's hands and feet didn't heal up properly because of the lack of medicines available back then, and what he could then use the holes for when he got to heaven in a practical sense. I mean, it was meant to be a lighthearted look at his Jesus. But O'Reilly refused to let me explain by cutting me off and going to the other guest. I had a moment to think and calm myself down, and it was then that I again noticed the feeling in my seat, like a mild shock, but it felt slightly stronger now. Again, I tried to ignore it, but I couldn't. I debated whether to tell someone, but ultimately decided against it. I didn't want to give the impression that I was nervous or, worse, crazy or just trying to deflect the charges.